The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. What if you could immerse yourself in a world of overflowing beauty, a world in which you could explore ease with consciousness and the lightness of change? If ordinary isn't enough for you and remarkable is just the beginning, join us to discover a universe that is truly magical. This is Creme de la Creme, presented by facilitators of Access Consciousness. Is now the time for something different? Here are the hosts of Creme de la Creme.
So welcome, everybody, all our wonderful listeners all over the world, to Creme de la Creme, or Creme de la Creme, more correct
pronounced. What was the second one? Was that the German version?
Oh, Jonas, why do you always do that to me? You know I'm doing my best Creme de la Creme.
How was the Swedish version?
good question.
Creme de la Creme. Yeah.
And where's the French version?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
That should be sexier.
Who's doing Wait, the Jonas, French you one? Can do that.
I can't. I'm not as sexy as you.
Creme de la Creme. So as you can hear, we're totally out of control here. So we have a really amazing show here because, you know, we always ask, how does it get any better in this? And it keeps getting better, weirdly enough. So today we have not only phenomenal leaders here with us. By the way, my name is Susanna Mittermeier, today's host. And we also have Leeson Bengtsson. Hi, Leeson.
Hi, Susanna.
We have Jonas Svensson.
Yes.
Hello.
And Hello. We have a man that I love referring to as Mr. Fabulous. A man who does not only look fabulous, but always is fabulous. Because, you know, I met him, I don't even know how many years ago, at a time where I diligently tried my best to, you know, be as pathetic as I could and pretend to live life as everybody else.
I love the mysterious energy you're creating around. Who is
we
it?
We already heard his voice.
Curious. Who is it?
So have I met him?
But that's what consciousness is about. We want to put people in question.
Uh-huh.
So with my hugest gratitude for the man who keeps tickling me into greater possibilities and something he does with thousands of people worldwide every day, I want to welcome Mr. Fabulous Gary Douglas.
Thank you. Thank you.
So great to have you. So Gary Douglas is the founder of Access Consciousness, and we're really, really happy to have you here today.
Thank you.
And today's show's topic, what do we have today? Well, it's creating the world you'd like to live in. So, Gary, would you like to take it away and you know, as we do.
So I have to do your show is what you're trying to tell me. Okay, I get it. All right. So I didn't know I was in charge of doing the show.
You
I thought
always
I was here
are,
as a guest,
Gary.
That, yeah, it's like I'm always in charge of everything. Yeah.
You are.
Well, it's like basically what it boils down to is if you start to live in the question, you start to live from the choice of consciousness, you start to choose that which expands the world, yours and everybody else's, what begins to happen is everything you ever thought you desired shows up in your life.
That easy?
It's that easy.
Wow.
And everybody thinks it has to be hard and difficult. You know, it's like, well, it'll do it. You know, it's like one time I went away to this channeling group that was on a mountaintop in Colorado. We slept in soggy old army tents and had, you know, like moldy rugs on the floor and stuff. And it was just kind of gross, you know, and they had this lady channeling and they gave you a thing that looks like one of these microphones that said they called this talking stick and you cannot talk unless you have this stick. So, you know, I feel like if you wanted to talk, you put your hand up and they had to pass the stick to you. And if somebody wasn't finished, they held on to the stick and you didn't get to talk. Sort of like I'm doing right now. But at any rate, it's like we're up there and I'm going, okay, so I have some money problems and I'd like to know what to do about them. And the channel very stentorially you know, in a very loud and beautiful voice, says, if you weave on the loom of Maya in the seventh sun of the house of the rising star of the blah, 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 of the blah, 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 you will have the gold of the snake. And it's like, I go, what the F does that mean, and how the hell do I apply that? I was not a very nice man from that time forward. They didn't like me much, because it's like, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to get into the etheric of it all. But I consider money a very pragmatic subject, not an etheric subject. Oh yeah, I figure consciousness is a pragmatic subject, not an etheric subject.
But it's funny, because they always think it's, like, most modalists always think it's so doable, like it's so obvious how you do it, because they come with all the steps, with all the answers, right?
Yeah.
But weirdly enough, it doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't work because it's not your, number one, it's not the right answer for you. You know, it's like, we need to start creating a new class called Right Answer for You. We would never have to ask a question again. We just tell everybody you're wrong.
And probably millions of people would
come. And they're happy.
Yeah, and they'll be happy. They'll go away happy. You know, and it's like, the other thing is all those steps that they put out there. It's like, so much of it, it's like, you look at it, you do it, and you go, wait a minute, I can't do this. So who's wrong? You are. And that's the thing I find so objectionable, is that they make it so that you, if you can't do it the way they say to do it, then you're the problem, not their modality is the problem.
Absolutely. Right.
And my point of view is, the modality is the problem. Right. What additional question could you have? What other way could you look at it? So in Access, it's like, if something doesn't work, we look at it another way and see if we can make something that works for you.
Yeah. That is really the gift that I got from Access, and a lot from you, Mr. Gary Douglas, founder of Access Consciousness.
Major manipulator.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> When you look at that, yeah, like every third year, when the right moon is the wrong star and the sun is shining from the left in 345 degrees.
Retrograde.
That's retrograde and in the house. And I obviously know very little about astrology.
I know a lot about that one.
But it's like, would you always say, if it's not easy, it's... or ease, it's not consciousness, because you're already fighting something.
You're fighting and for or against
that's
something.
That's one of the
that's
biggest
defending,
gifts.
You know, defending some point of view, defending yourself, doing something other than being.
Yeah.
And it's like, but we're not taught to be here on this planet. We're taught to do. This is a doo-doo planet.
But this is normal in this world. So you know, dealing with lots and lots of clients, I've, you know, realized that it's normal to have a problem. It's normal to have to work through something, and it's normal to look for an answer. And we've been taught that when you ask a question, you're supposed to look for the answer. But, you know,
well,
like...
Well, it's not that you're supposed to look for the answer. You're supposed
have,
to
have. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The right one.
Get an answer.
It will never change until you get the answer.
Yes. Yeah.
But also, one thing my clients ask me about changing things in bodies, and we have this called body process and Access, and I keep on hearing you saying, like, if it doesn't work for most people, like, we're not there. You don't have the answer. You wait, I need more information.
You don't have the awareness.
The awareness,
not the answer.
No, sorry.
Awareness.
The awareness. And it's so awesome, because in a lot of modalities I've been in, it's that either they know it or it's not fixable, doable.
Yeah.
So they're not in the change, in the possibility that there's something showing up with people.
Yeah, well, it's like they have to have the answer in order to prove that they're the greatness of them.
Yeah.
It's like, see, I don't care about proving whether I'm great. I am more diligently dedicated to getting greater awareness.
Yeah.
And I don't care if I look like a fool.
No, and you.
That's so funny.
And you also receive every person that's there with their awareness. So we're all creating together.
Well, the thing is, it's like, are we really separate? And it's like, we're infinite beings from, you know, from the planet of oneness. Oh, no, there isn't a planet of oneness. There's a planet of consciousness. No, there's not. You mean there's consciousness and everything? Oh, that, yeah. And so say we're all started from the oneness and the consciousness that we all are. And it's like, what would it take for us to stop pretending we're the finite pile of debris that we think we are?
Wow. So what is the thing with awareness and consciousness? You know, how can you pragmatically use that to create your life and your reality?
Well, it's like, you know, the definition of oneness and consciousness is includes everything and judges nothing, not even judgment.
Wow.
So when you don't judge anything, you can't come to a conclusion.
So when you have a bad day,
to remain the question,
right? Mm-hmm. So when you have a bad day and you go, "Oh, I'm having a bad day. I should have a good day. And why am I having a bad day?" And it just keeps on piling on and on and on.
Well,
how many people have it?
That's the litany of judgment most people live by.
Right.
I remember once I had a conversation with a person that is doing all kinds of methods and stuff to develop herself, and then we were having this conversation about how you need to have, or she had the conversation, I was just listening and trying to ask questions, which I stopped very fast, but she was talking about, I need to have bad days to feel the good days. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I know. I always love that one. You'll never know how good something could be unless you know how it's opposite.
No, exactly.
And it's like, it's hilarious. Wait a minute. That's not real to me. I mean, it's like, as a little kid, I noticed that it's like every day was a good day until I had a bad day, and then the next day was a good day too, and then there could be 10 or 12 good days before I had anything bad happen. And it's like, you know, it's like the reality is that's the way it should be, period. Mm-hmm. And that is what I've created my life as. It's like pretty much every day is a good day. And some days are even greater than the other days. And if I have a bad hair day, it's like today where I just got up and combed my hair and came down and didn't do my ablutions before arriving.
Ablutions. Your hairdresser wasn't up that early.
My hairdresser wasn't up that early. Exactly. And I'm my hairdresser.
But I also think, like, if when we're talking about creating the world you desire to live in, it's also what I've always been inspired by Gary about how, yeah, every day is a good day. They're different. And if you wake up and one of your...
Hey, you know what makes a good day? If you gain awareness.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And
gaining awareness is a great day, because the more awareness you have, the less problems you have, the less difficulties you have.
Yeah.
So it's like all you got to do is make your target of the day, okay, what kind of awareness can I get today? And it's not good or bad or right or wrong, it's just awareness.
So can you see how that works with awareness, gaining more awareness and the problems go away?
Well, it's like recently I was working with a guy and he was having a miserable time because this girl that he liked was, you know, flirting with another guy, and he was like making himself crazy. I'm going, really? Again? You know? And finally I said, so what are you doing here? Are you trying to manipulate somebody with this? And he goes, no.
I'm it's like, real.
Oh, yeah. He said, yeah, I am manipulating. So who are you manipulating with this? Myself. So you're manipulating yourself. It's like she's manipulating you with flirting with another guy so that you'll feel bad about yourself so you can manipulate yourself into feeling bad enough to give yourself up so she can have you. Mm. I said, what? How does that gain anything in your life? And it's like, and what I became aware of is all the places in my own life where if somebody wasn't happy with me, if somebody didn't, you know, do what I wanted them to do, or if it didn't turn out the way I thought it should, instead of being able to change and go, okay, what else can I do or what else is possible, I would go, oh, I'm so sad, I'm so upset.
Right.
I'm not. You know, and recently my oldest son got hepatitis A, and it's like they say he can't drink or smoke ever again. Well, this has been his whole life, drinking and smoking. He's been smoking and drinking since he was 10 years old. He's 45. So it's like, okay, has this kid got much chance? And his wife wanted me to pay a bunch of money to put him into rehab. And I went, I'm sorry, I will not pay to put him into rehab. This is a place where he has to choose. Mm. It's like, you choose or you die. These are your choices. If you choose to drink or smoke or do the things that your liver and spleen cannot, and your gallbladder cannot handle, then that's your choice. It's what you really want. You can't stop somebody. You can't save people. It's like I see all kinds of people always trying to save people. Oh my God, how boring. But I just said, I will not save him. I will not work to save him. I spent too many hours, too many days, too many weeks, too many months, too many nights praying and doing everything else under the sun to try and save this kid. Mm. It's like now he has to save himself. And ultimately, that's the place we all have to look at. You know, you want to create the life you want? Then start creating it. Don't complain about it. I don't have any money. What is that? Mm. Complaint.
Yeah.
We seem to love that.
Yeah, and that part where people are trying to help each other out of their problems and trying to help people to create the world they think they want to live in, it's hilarious because if you look at it, those people that are trying to help other people out of it and create a better world with that, the spiritual ones, they are also fighting for having a world where no one is more than somebody else, and they're already coming from a superior point of view to the other people.
I mean, if you do help, so it's like, if you're doing help, you always have to see the person's less than you.
Exactly. So they're actually already functioning from what's creating, not from what will create something different.
Right. I mean, you always have choice, as you said, like how you deal with whatever shows up. Like if you look at it, I manipulate myself and all that. I remember when I was in the spiritual arena, it was really like, if you had a bad day, go and meditate. It was like the solution was also meditation, almost always meditation, not really asking a question about what's going on.
It's probably the closest solution you can find when you're having a bad day. Meditation works for some people.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
It just doesn't work for me.
But it's not, for me, it's like, it's not fast enough. It takes quite a long time as well.
Yeah.
And like really asking a question, what's going on? Because I have choice, or like...
I like the access method. It takes about 2.5 minutes.
I love it.
That's so cool.
I love it because I can change any situation then.
Yeah.
It depends on me, not about something.
You're in control of your life?
I don't know if everybody wants to hear this, though.
Probably not.
Right.
Don't we have to go to break
That's
now?
Like the perfect timing to go to break, right? So if you would like to hear more of that, if you would like to have more choice, join us again after the break.
Hey, everybody. This is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. AccessConsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At AccessConsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. AccessConsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to AccessConsciousness.com to learn more.
Want to know what the best-kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club, and each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane. How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
Mm-hmm.
are listening to Creme de la Creme, presented by Access Consciousness. Join us on the program today via phone or email. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Pam at accessconsciousness.com. She'll make sure we get the message. Now, back to Creme de la Creme.
So welcome, everybody, to our fabulous show, Creme de la Creme.
What makes you think it's fabulous?
Well, it's always
because she's here.
I'm here.
That's true. That is very true.
First, it was fabulous Gary. Now it's fabulous Susanna.
Absolutely. It wraps off.
Then there's the fabulous Lisa and the fabulous Jonas.
Exactly. So it's a fabulous show.
That's why it's called Creme de la Creme.
Oh, we have a whole group of fabulous people that is not here today. But we can be even more fabulous.
Exactamente. Cool. So today's topic is creating the world you truly like to live in. And we have our special guest here, Gary Douglas. And we talked a little bit about, before the break, not saving people, allowing people to choose whatever they choose, which I found is the greatest kindness you can be.
Well, it's the greatest kindness because, you know, it's like if you try to get people to change something they don't really want to change, what do they have to do? Fight you.
Yes.
You know, it's like years ago I had this friend who always picked abusive relationships. This woman was always finding somebody who would be abusive to her. And she said, "You're my friend. Tell me the next time I'm choosing somebody abusive." I went, "Okay. Promise me you'll tell me." "Okay." So she got involved with another guy, and I went, "This guy is just going to be abusive to you. You really don't want to get involved in this situation. You don't know him like I do. He's wonderful. He's going to be everything I ever wanted. You're just against him, so I'm cutting you off as a friend."
Oh, wow.
Okay, good. 3 years later, he was beating her and their kid.
Wow.
In the name of Jesus. To beat the devil out of him.
But then it's okay.
I don't know.
No.
It was okay.
Joke.
In his
it
world.
Was a joke. We're just clarifying this.
We're clarifying
this is a
joke the joke
from Jonas.
I hate to say it, Jonas, but your sense of humor is a little too dry.
Doesn't always come across.
You're even drier than an Englishman. I didn't know that was possible.
I can be anything.
Sometimes it needs translation.
Yeah.
Yes. Lost in translation. But at any rate, you know, it's like she cut me out as a friend because I was against her relationship. I wasn't against her relationship. I was against the fact that she was going to get beaten, which she did. But I realized it's like, you know what? You can't tell people what they don't want to hear. Mm-hmm. And it's like if they decide they're in love, if they decide this is the perfect person, if they decide whatever they decide, that's it. Mm. Yeah. And you know, Lord love a duck. You gotta acknowledge and admire people for their persistent need to have a miserable life.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But it's funny because we all know that we do not like anybody telling us what to do.
Yeah,
and then we kind of like search for that the rest of our lives when we grow up.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like it's really kind of like really insane.
Yeah, just a tad.
Right. It's like all the people like go to experts, like whatever that is, whether they're doctors, psychologists, or spiritual teachers, gurus, and you know, looking for the answer, looking for somebody to tell them what to do, and then fight it at the same time. That's just really insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they don't find it's insane. They usually think they found the answer.
Exactly.
And it's like, which doesn't work. Mm. But an answer that doesn't work, is it really an answer? No.
No.
That's the reason in Access, it's all about the question. Because the question will always work to give you awareness of what it is you really want to find out.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how few people don't. It's like this guy I was telling you about who was upset about this girl flirting with another guy. It's like he really didn't want to see that by doing that and pulling so much energy from him that he had to notice. And he said, "Well, but I flirt with everybody." I said, "Yeah, except you don't pull all the energy so that everybody notices you're flirting. You just flirt with everybody, and it's indiscriminate flirting." It's like you're just an indiscriminate flirt. It's like, and you don't see anything other than it's fun to flirt.
Well, that's a very different.
She was doing it to get a result,
yeah.
And it's like when you see people doing that to get a result, that's not kind,
right?
No matter what anybody says. So you gotta look at. So is you know gotta be in the question. So is this kind? Mm. Is this validative? Is it invalidative? What is this? You know, the four questions I keep putting out there in the world. What is this? What do I do with it? Can I change it? And if so, how do I change it? And then yep. she said to me at the end, he goes, well, I'm going to talk to her. And I said, yeah, that'll work.
Talking always helps, right?
Yes, you know, it's like I know. I was involved in a cult where they said communication solves all problems.
Was that psychology?
No. That was another ology. That was another ology. It wasn't psychology.
I heard this joke yesterday.
More like psychology.
Psychology always works if the other person wants to change.
Pretty much the way it works. So it's like, I said, yeah, you've done that in the past. You always have these conversations with these women and they always tell you they're going to change and they never do. And then you end up back in the same place. So what is it you're thinking is going to happen that's not happening? And he goes, oh, I think because I tell them I want them to change, they will change. Yeah, does that make you God or them God?
Mm. So that's what we think when we're creating, our lives when we're doing exactly that.
Yeah.
Instead of what were talking before about creating your life and asking questions and really, I have the possibility to control everything or change anything in my life.
Yeah. So what do I need to change? What do I want to change?
I'll tell you what to do.
Yeah.
So
my life gets better. Yeah. It's like I was working with a lady recently and she was getting married. You know, she decided to get married and it's like, and all she could do is complain about this poor guy about he wasn't doing this and he wasn't doing that. And I said, why are you marrying him? I love him. I said, no, you don't. You judge him all the time. That's not love.
You love to judge him.
Yeah, you love to judge him.
Love.
Said, yes. She said, well, what do I do then to change this? I said, why don't you ask a question like, where is this leading? Not, is it time for me to leave? Is it time for me to leave is not a question. It's a conclusion that leaving is the choice and you've already decided you're going to leave. It's just a matter of when.
Right. It's like always this fixing and trying to mend it.
It's not even trying to mend it. It's trying to make it work the way you think it should work instead of seeing what awareness and what possibility you're going to create.
Mm. And if it doesn't work, you just leave it. You just let it go and move
like
on.
And most people, you know, do in a relationship until they're done with the relationship and then they go away.
Right.
You can listen to your own questions. When is time to leave? It might be a little clue that you have already concluded that you're going that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, listen to the thing you call a question. Yeah. Because
And if you don't know if it's a question, just ask Gary and you will definitely know if it's a question or not.
Yes, I know. It's very funny, isn't it? People always go, how come you always know whether it's a question or not? Because it's really obvious. Time to leave? Yes or no? It's like, that's a statement. That's not a question.
So what, can you give us some tips?
It doesn't create awareness, it just creates conclusion.
So what creates that clarity, that awareness in your world where you know, like, you know, when people ask those questions, they go, okay, yes or no, and then, you know, people like ask 10 times.
It's a yes or no question.
It's usually.
It's definitely based on a conclusion. If you're looking for awareness, you are asking a question, okay, so like, you know, with cars, people always go, well, should I buy this car or not? I said, no, but I want to buy this car, yes. But I don't know whether it's a good car to buy. No, don't buy it. Yes, but it's like, I need a car. Yes, buy it. And they go, you're not answering my question. I said, you're not asking a question. You've already decided you want to buy it, and you're trying to ask whether it's going to be a good car or a bad car.
Right.
I said, where is the question like, okay, will this car be fun? Will it add to my life? Will it expand my life? Will it contribute to my life in ways I can't imagine? Mm-hmm. I always ask that, and it's like, amazing things show up. And it's like, I love my cars. And the funny part about it is I love my cars so much because they love me. It's like, they go, yeah, we'll take care of you. Yeah, it's good. It's like, I seldom get in accidents. And it's like, only when I loan my car to other people do they get in accidents. And it's like, and the cars run really well. They tend not to fall apart. They tend to, you know, they tend to be in good shape all the time. As they say in Australia, good nick. It's funny.
So when you ask questions, you open up the possibility to receive the contribution from things.
Yeah, from things, everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, and I ask the contribution from my cars, from my house, from everything. You know, it's like everything around me. And it's like, it's just this amazing miracle. We moved to Texas, and one of the things I've noticed in Texas is nobody grows flowers. They grow hedges. Mm-hmm. I go, but I like flowers. So I found this one lady who loves to grow flowers, and I hired her as my landscaping person. And she just planted 4,000 bulbs in the meadow that's down by the bayou in our house. And it's like 4,000 bulbs? We'll have bulbs coming up all the time.
Wow.
And she also planted some flowers that right after rain, they always flower.
Oh, wow.
So it's like every time we have a rain, 3 days later, we'll have flowers. And I went, yes.
That's so really working with nature.
Like it's working with nature, yeah. And it's like nature kind of likes flowers. I don't know whether you ever noticed. I mean, it'll grow flowers in the strangest little place. There's this strange little thing called a Mexican primrose that's called Felicia or something like that that grows in the United States, parts of the United States. It loves to grow in the cracks of cement, you know, the walkways.
Wow.
It loves to grow in the cracks. And it's like, and it sticks up its little shiny head of pink thing, is there for 3 or 4 days, and dies. Yeah. And it's like, but it's so pretty, and it loves to come out of the cracks. And it's like, and the California poppy does the same thing. It's like, it's this beautiful little flower, and it'll grow out of the cracks.
And there's this wonderful flower called the dandelion. Right?
Yeah. And that it'll grow anywhere.
Anywhere. And it spreads its seeds everywhere.
It'll grow anywhere.
Exactly.
Spread anywhere.
And that's the flower of access.
Exactly.
Why? Why a dandelion? Okay, everybody asks me, so why do you use a dandelion? Well, let's see. If you can use it to make a tea, you can eat it. It helps cure cancer. It's like it can make a wine out of it. It's got multiple uses at all times. And wherever it blows, it plants its seeds, and you don't know where that's going to happen. And access is like that. It's sprung up in the strangest damn places all over the world. And now we're in like 50 countries.
It's amazing.
It's like the wedgie plant.
Yeah. It's a wedgie plant. I like that.
It is.
Since I love giving wedgies.
Exactly.
So can you talk a bit more about the contribution we can receive and be with, like, because we talk a lot with nature, and people get that with nature a lot, but like when it comes to cars, houses, concrete, physical things.
Oh, you mean the things that we call inanimate?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing is inanimate. You know, it's like every molecule in the universe has consciousness in it, and every molecule in the universe wants to contribute to you if you're willing to receive. But you got to be willing to receive what it's going to tell you. It's like I had a lady call me and she said, oh my God, my car told me it was going to break down, and I ignored it, and it broke down. I said, so why did you ignore it? Well, because I couldn't believe it would break down because it's so new. I said, well, it's like things will try and tell you what's going on. It's like I'll have a washing machine. It suddenly makes one strange noise, and I go, are you going to break? And it goes, yes. Mm. I said, good. So I call out the repairman. There's something wrong with my washing machine. He turns around, he says, I don't hear anything. Good. Would you check it out?
Yeah.
But I don't hear anything. Yeah, I know. Would you check it out? Because I heard it making noises, even though I only heard it once.
Yeah.
I lie. I know when to lie.
Yes.
Lie to anybody who decides they can't hear what you hear.
Not aware what you were.
Yeah. And it's like, and they go in and they check and they find some little thing that is breaking, and they go, well, this would have gone out in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's for me creating your life, and also like being aware. Like, we talk about ease.
Yeah.
And then but we wait until shit shows up instead of really like, hey, when you're aware, you can change things already before.
It's when you're willing to listen to the whispers of awareness.
Yeah.
Because it's really subtle and light. It's like when, you know, I packed my bag for a really sunny country.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just had this really subtle awareness of pack your rain clothes. And I'm like, no, come on, rain clothes for, I think it was Mallorca or something, Spain.
Yeah.
It's always supposed to be sunny. But I just knew it. It was so like a feather touch of awareness.
Did you pack your stuff?
No, because my brain was stronger.
Neither did I. Actually had that when I was going to Auckland, and it was supposed to be cold.
Yeah.
So I kept going in, and I kept grabbing my linen pants. Every time I went, I grabbed linen pants four times.
Body knew
it was going to need linen pants. I grabbed linens four times, and I went on the internet and stuff, and it said cold. And it's like I went to Auckland, it was so damn hot. I had to go out and buy a whole wardrobe to be able to wear to do my class because I had no clothes that weren't designed for cold weather. And it's like I was just roasting trying to get to the store to buy stuff. So it's like you start having those, you know, it's like listens to those little fluffy awarenesses and stuff and start, you know, it's like one or two times of missing those.
Yeah.
You will change your point of view, and every time you feel, oh, well, let me take a few of these just in case.
And you're going to trust what you know. That's the cool thing, trusting what you know.
And that's how you really create the life you'd really like to have. It's trusting what you know.
Yes. And if you didn't trust, you don't have to judge yourself either.
I know, isn't that weird?
You just choose again.
You just do.
I mean, Gary got a new wardrobe.
I know.
I hate
isn't
that.
Isn't that bad? Women.
I hated having to go out and buy a new wardrobe.
Maybe the women are more aware than they think. Oh, I can go shopping.
Yeah, right. No, I don't think that's the same thing.
I'm just joking. That was also a joke.
No, you weren't. You're a woman. You think a woman is supposed to shop.
No. Really? When I moved together with Jonas, we had like shoes. I think I had a third of the amount of shoes that he had. I'm like,
really?
Yes.
Do you know a guy needs to have his shoes?
So yeah, I did find a reason justification if I wanted to have one to shop.
Yes, he needs to have shoes on so he can take his pants off.
Exactly.
Definitely.
So cool. So if you want to check your wardrobe during the break now and check how many shoes you have, do so.
And make sure you have more shoes than pants.
Yeah, please. That's very important if you want to be conscious. So enjoy yourself during the break and we'll hear you after these messages.
When you make decisions, do you ever find yourself in doubt? Are you trying to figure out what's right with you? Are you ready to truly change your life? Listen for the Access Consciousness Radio Show with the founders of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane here. Consciousness is all about including everything and judging nothing. Our program will help you break free from your personal limitations and enhance positive change in all areas of your life. Tune in to Access Consciousness Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator to schedule a private session or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Want to know what the best-kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club, and each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane. How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
Listening to Creme de la Creme, presented by Access Consciousness. Join us on the program today via phone or email. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Pam@accessconsciousness.com. She'll make sure we get the message. Now, back to Creme de la Creme.
Welcome, wonderful listeners, to today's shows of Creme de la Creme. And today we have Gary Douglas here, our special guest, together with Leeson Bengtsson and Jonas Svensson. And my name is
They're
Susanna Mittermeier.
They're special, Mittermeier. Too.
Sorry?
They're special,
All of them are special.
They all belong on the short bus.
What do you mean?
We're special regulars. We're special guests.
We're always special.
I always joke that, it's like they belong on the short bus, where they put those special kids. They have a short bus. They don't have a long bus because there's always less of them. So it's like, you know, it's like if you get that, maybe you belong on the short bus of life, you might get someplace different, faster.
Yes.
As instead of trying to make yourself like everybody else and sit, you know, in the front, the back, or the middle of the bus, you get, oh, I'm doing short bus today. You start, you know, it's like, okay, I'm just being insane at this moment. I'm being totally retarded. Yeah, I know you're not supposed to say that. It's not politically correct, but I always say things that are not politically correct. But it's like, I just think it's funny. And I mean, I love it. It's like this last week, there was a lady who is almost, well, she's not a quadriplegic. She's a paraplegic, but she has, you know, she has difficulty with her arms and she can't speak. So she has to have a machine to speak for. And she types in her questions and stuff, but she's so brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's like one of the things we were talking about in class was manipulation. And I said, and you, lady, are one of the most manipulative people I ever met in my life. And she cackled.
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
And I said, you are using this, you know, I am crippled thing as a way of getting people to do all kinds of stuff for you, aren't you? And she goes, and why not?
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you should. But it's like, I don't have a judgment about whether somebody's, quote unquote, crippled or not.
No.
It's like I was in New Zealand one time, and this guy came to my class and or came to have a private session with me, and he was in a wheelchair, and these people had really steep steps that he had to go up, and I went, do you need some help? He goes, no, I'm not crippled, I just have wheels. And I went,
I love it.
Wow, I love this guy's attitude. And he took himself up this extremely like six stairs that were basically almost at a, what is that, 45 degree angle? About a 45 degree angle, he took himself up those six stairs and he would balance on that and then go up the next step and go up the next step. And he would, you know, keep the back wheels on the thing and then balance until he had his balance and then taking himself up to the next step. And I watched him and I just went, wow, you're not crippled. You just have wheels and you know how to use them.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then he used to race me down to the, you know, and I thought, it's not fair, you have wheels.
Wow.
You know, if you don't look from a fixed point of view, it's like you become aware of a different point of view that might be greater than the one you think you got.
So it's basically when you stop buying your own manipulations as real, when you can start using them to create the life you truly desire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you stop looking at what's wrong and you start looking, okay, what's right about this I'm not getting? Simple tool that we give in Access, and it's like, what's right about this I'm not getting? Better question is, what's right about me I'm not getting? Because most of you go into, what's wrong with me that I can't do this? What's wrong with this? It's like, they have a program in the United States called Cheaters. Have you guys ever seen
that? Yeah, actually, I have.
You have?
Yeah.
It's like, don't you just want to punch all those people
in the face?
I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? You would actually try to keep this guy when you know he's cheating on you? Or you would try to keep this girl when you know she's cheating on you? But I love her. Good Lord, how much, you know, bend, staple, fold, and mutilate of yourself do you have to do to keep a love that doesn't work?
That's crippling yourself.
Yeah, that's crippling yourself.
Which is actually...
And you don't have wheels, that one.
Exactly.
Which is actually tying to the beginning again of, like, what do you want the world to look like? And how do you know if you're functioning from consciousness or conclusion? It's all about that. If you feel like you need to bend, staple, and mutilate yourself, and everything needs to contract, and you need to make yourself less. You know, well, like, you're not on the right track.
Well, I think that, you know, it's like the thing I notice is a whole lot of people say, well, I have to make do with what I have.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I have to deal with what I've got. Mm. I can't have anything more.
Okay, yeah. Satisfied.
I have to be satisfied. I have to be okay. I have to, you know, make it work, whether it does or not. And it's like, and I've never had that point of view. If it doesn't work, what else can I do?
Right. Mm.
But that's really how we're manipulating ourselves out of actually being something different.
Yeah, and it's like in being the greatness you can be. And the one thing I notice is that most of the people who come to Access, I see this place in them where they could choose a level of greatness that would make them stand out from the crowd without standing out from the crowd. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you sent me a text or a Skype the other day and said something about, you know, it's like you thought that being you was being rah, 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 sis, boo, bah, and showing off and doing all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And,
And it's really cool, because what I realized is being me is so different than what I thought it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought that, you know, I had this notion of, if you want to create something, you got to be out there, you got to, you know, show yourself, and you got to, like, do this and that, except that just puts people off. It's not an invitation.
Well, it's showing yourself in a way you judge you should show yourself. It's not being yourself, which is totally different.
It's like controlling how you would add others, like how you would like to others to receive you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to be received utterly, huh?
Utterly.
But that's what we do all the time. We just see, go into other people's worlds and see, like, what would they like us to be? And then we bend, staple, mutilate ourselves to fit that.
Yeah, you're trying to fit what is, because it's so much easier to see what other people would like you to be than it is to see what you'd like to be.
Yeah.
Because you've never been asked your entire life, choose to be you. Mm-hmm. You've never been told, this is you. You've never been said, you know, nobody said to you, they only pointed out, I mean, it's like, you know, like your parents mostly, most people do. Mine didn't, which I thought was a miracle.
Wow.
It's like mine didn't, but most people point out to you what you do wrong so you can change to make it right according to somebody else's style.
Yeah, so you can be something that is not disturbing anyone else in any way.
So you want to be a not ruffling the feathers, not stirring the pot kind of person.
Don't use your wings.
You know, it's like cut those wings off because they're wrong.
Yes.
So, Gary, we're talking about how to create your own life. And what I perceive is, like, people think, oh, but if I do that and nobody else wants to do that, I'm alone. Can you address that?
Well, it's like the one thing I learned. It's like I did a meditation at one time where it was designed.
No, I did
a meditation once. I tried once, and that wasn't enough. But it's like I did this thing where you went in and you went to the place where loneliness lived, where you were going to be so alone that there would be nobody else at all around, and then go 100 feet beyond that to a greater depth of lonely, and then go 100 feet beyond that, and then go 100 feet beyond that, and then go 100 feet beyond that. And all of a sudden, all the lonely went away because you realized lonely is a lie.
Yeah.
Could an infinite being truly be lonely? You know, I always say, all you do is have children to know you can never be alone. You go to the bathroom and they'll come in, ew, that stinks.
So I don't think we really have a concept of oneness, for example.
No,
we have no clue what that is.
Yeah.
Maybe we have a glimpse of it once in a while, but we don't really trust that awareness.
Well, it's like the thing is, it's like everybody's experienced oneness at one point or another. And how you experience it is a sense of peace and possibility without any judgment in it. It's like you get it oftentimes out in the forest. You go out in the deep forest. It's like you just feel this sense of expansion and peace. Because the trees don't judge. The rocks don't judge. The flowers don't judge. The plants don't judge. Only people judge. And when you're not around a lot of people and you're out in the middle of a forest someplace, it's like the sense of peace and expansion is amazing. But that's what oneness is, a sense of peace and expansion. But you can have that 24/7.
That's the thing. And if I don't have judgment, it's so much fun also to be around people. Because you play with them, you can receive them no matter if what reaction or point of view they have. You're like, oh, that's just a different flavor.
Yeah.
Fun. So it is possible.
Yeah, it's the Baskin Robbins of consciousness.
It's like kids, you know, who have everybody as their potential playmate.
Yeah.
I have my friend, she has a 2-year-old, and he just goes to everybody and he favors the grumpy people. So he just goes up to them and go, hi, you know, and he does this until they no longer can hold their grumpiness.
Yeah.
And it's just fabulous how he uses everybody as a playmate.
My dog does that outside with people I don't know, and they don't get always happy.
I love how you put that. He favors the grumpy people.
Well, they're fun. Play with them.
You can create more change with grumpy people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's actually a really good example, too, that you both bring up, because if you think of a situation where you were hanging out with a person you had judgment around. Was that fun for you? No, it wasn't. And then you think it's because of them, but wait a minute, if you're hanging around with a person that you don't have judgments with, does it make it more fun?
Unfortunately, it does.
Yeah. Whether they receive or not.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you can have fun.
It's really fun. Yeah, you know, it's like to hang out with people who are like fixed in their points of view and company, because you can just mess with their head in a heartbeat.
No, we want everybody to change their point of view so they have the same as I, because then we're happy and.
No. I like to mess with them. You know, it's like when I go out, when I'm around people that, you know, are like doing their, you know, fixed points of view, I go, wow, that's a really interesting point of view. Do you ever have an opposite point of view? What do you mean? I said, well, you know, it's like the opposite point of view might be this. Is that a point of view you ever have? No, I only have my point of view. Oh, okay, perfect. Well, thank God you don't have to mess with having other people's points of view.
I love how you messed with your neighbors when you invited them over for Christmas.
Yes, that was, I know.
That was just the best example ever.
Yes. They were being grumpy with us, and they said that we had been working on our house too much and we should stop. And, you know, it's like, and it was disturbing them.
I reported your car in the street.
Oh, that was
another
neighbor. Oh, that was
another neighbor.
You have great neighbors.
I have great neighbors. They, you know, it's like the other neighbors across the street reported my 1960 Buick, which is immaculate, as an abandoned car.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And it's like, and
oh, that's cool.
The police came out and somebody said, hey, the police are checking out your car. So I walked down and said, is there anything I can help you with, officer? That's my car. And he goes, no, your neighbors reported it as an abandoned car and wanted it towed away from in front of their house. How long has it been here? A day and a half? 2 days, maybe? And he goes, yeah, well, that's what the little sticker here says that came from, you know, like the car company that dropped the car off. It's like it says it's been here for, you know, that they dropped it off a day ago. So it's like, your neighbors are a little interesting.
What did you do with the Christmas thing? I think people would love to hear that one.
I invited them to our Christmas party. You know, and it's like, and the neighbors who were cranky, I invited them to Christmas party and gave them two very nice bottles of champagne as a Christmas present.
Wow. Ooh, la, la, la. That's not what most people will do, huh?
Let's put a bigger fence so we don't have to see them.
Yeah.
So, you know, so like, how did they take that?
They, you know, they came in and they, the first thing they, that the husband took Dane off and asked if we were married. You know, and he says, no, we're actually two straight guys who share a business and a house. He went, oh. And then, of course, they met my daughter and her son, and they, you know, it's like, and all of our friends were telling them how wonderful we were. Lucky they were to have us as neighbors. You know, it's like, and we hadn't prepped anybody. No. They just, you know, they just knew.
People kind of grateful also for you?
Yeah. You know, and it's like, it changed them. You know, which is good because my oldest daughter Shannon is going to get married in our house, so I have to get them to turn off their machine that makes too much noise.
Oh yeah.
So, oops.
But it's amazing how
I didn't know at the time that this marriage was going to occur, so I wasn't trying to set it up.
Well, you're craving for your future
consciousness.
Consciousness. But it's funny how you can change things by inviting them into your life.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah, I love that.
That's so different. Invitation and receiving.
Because it's so different. We usually do the opposite all the time. So what if we tried something?
You kept people out of your lives thinking that that's going to create more, and it doesn't.
It's
going to
be more easy.
You really want to create the life you want? Yeah. Invite people to your life, whether you like them or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
And even if you invite the ones that you don't like to your life, it's like they usually run away because they become more fearful of you because you are the one person who's not rejecting them, and they expect to be rejected.
Cool. And the other alternative to go to separation and exclusion, that will never create the world we want to live in anyway. Yeah.
Well, not the world you want to live in.
That's a good point.
Yes.
That's a very
acknowledging
good point.
The difference you are.
it just nailed me to the wall. That's so true.
It's your world, so it's like your world. It's the world.
Exactly. Yeah. So I can create the world I want to live in.
And they can create theirs.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like the people who do the separation, it's like, I mean, I knew people who lived on the same block that never talked to each other. They looked daggers at each other. They spit on the ground when the other person walked out and that kind of stuff. And I'm going, why?
But I know in Germany when I was living there, my neighbors always looked away when you looked at them. You wanted to say hi and they're like, were off. They were gone. They didn't want to say hi. No. Like the closest neighbors. Well, it's like,
I lived in a neighborhood when I was a kid. It's like we had a man who had been in World War II and he married a Russian woman. And so I was not allowed to go to their house and eat.
Oh.
And my mom said, they're poor. You can't eat at their house. So you always have to say no when you go to. And it was actually the fact that she thought they might serve some kind of poisonous food because they didn't have American food. And we also had a Latin, you know, we had a Mexican family on the same block. And they had chickens and goats in their backyard and all this stuff. Mm. So, you know, it's like I wasn't allowed to go to their house. And I wasn't allowed to eat there. Well, it turns out that the Mexican people also owned the lot next door to them, and when I got a little older, they built an apartment building there, and they had more money than all the rest of the people on the street. Right. It's like, yeah, judgment takes away awareness.
Oh, interesting. Wow. And it's like when you walk on the street and people are like, they're people who are beggars, you see how people make this big, they just go around in a big, whatever it's called.
Beggars like that, because that's the person they know that if they beg strong enough, long enough, they can get money out.
Right. But it's this
resist.
Point of view that if you're too close, it rubs off. Yeah. You know, you're like, as you don't have choice.
It's contagious.
It's like, hello, what?
It's a disease.
Exactly. It's really interesting. So these examples that you mentioned are really the pragmatics of consciousness. Yeah. It's how you use those receiving everything and judging nothing in practical reality, yeah, of like, don't separate from people and say, okay, I don't want to deal with them. They, you know, they hurt me. They make
They're
my
bad.
Life worse. Yeah. But no, invite them, receive everything and judge nothing, which is going to expand your life and probably also be one of the elements of how you create the life you truly desire.
Well, it is definitely one of the elements of creating the life you'd really desire.
Yes. Mm.
Because separation requires you to separate from you. Yeah. When you separate from another, you have to separate from you too.
Wow.
If you want to have some fun, you might change that one.
Yeah.
Nah, don't change. Remain the same.
And fun is definitely not part of creating your reality, right?
No.
It is for me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go fun.
So this has been a phenomenal show, and I can highly recommend to you listeners to listen to this over and over again. There's a lot of great information in here. If you want to have more, Gary and Dr. Dane here, they have phenomenal classes all over the world. If you want to check them out, go to accessconsciousness.com. And you also have a show on The Voice America.
Yeah, it's called
when
Access Consciousness.
Yeah.
Tuesdays.
When is your show? Tuesdays?
Tuesdays it is.
It is?
Thursday.
Yes. Thursday.
Oh,
Thursdays.
We have Tuesday. They have Thursday. Yeah.
Yes.
Thursdays.
So today is Tuesday,
In 2 days on Voice America. Yeah. Check out Gary and
Dane. The Empowerment Channel.
Thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. And join us again next week, Tuesday, for Crème de la Crème.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
Thank you for listening to Crème de la Crème today. You might like to listen to it more than once. To experience even more change, join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Be sure to check out creatingaconsciousworld.com and accessconsciousness.com to find out more about us and about Access. What would it take for you to choose to be the crème de la crème in your life and to choose it again and again? Will you?